Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Get back. Your Tool headquarters. It's the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
You got one of those apps in your car, LD, that tells you how hot your engine is running?
Actually, the same app will report that to me.
Yeah. It will.
There you go.
Yeah, because I got one of those, too.
Tell you the back window's open.
But yeah. The app will clear any engine codes or tell me if I have any engine codes. And yours will just give you a little light that you have an engine code.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, I'm with LD now.
You got one that tells you how many miles that your vehicle has traveled? Like either
yes,
either in trip form or in total form,
because
I got one of those too.
Yes,
form.
I do that. I do have that.
How about an app where you can see the cars that are behind you?
No, I actually have to turn around. For that.
Okay, I've mirrors. They've installed mirrors at no extra cost for me. I got one on either side and then one right in front of me.
Do you have that app that tells you what gear the car is in, Todd?
Yes, as a matter of fact.
That one comes standard, too.
There's an app for that.
There's a display
that will tell me
whether I'm in neutral, drive, park, reverse.
Really?
Now,
shave my head and take me to the men's warehouse.
On mine, I have to look down because mine is a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
yeah.
6.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
How about an app that tells you whether or not you're in four-wheel drive or two-wheel drive?
Well, most of
no, there's a light for that.
Mine just go into that.
See, cause I have
and my car is not four-wheel drive.
I have a truck. Yeah. Is there an app for ass hats?
Yeah.
It's pointing at Todd right now.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Landog started it. And I just piled on like an ass hat.
No, I started it. I wasn't bragging about the app. I was saying that there was technology that already exists in our phones to do that.
I trust LD.
I know.
He does a great cartoon. We just watched the cartoon again. Yes.
You were actually backing up one of my proposals, and then I piled on like the dick out
of And I figured I wasn't digging myself out of that one.
It's about freedom. It's about freedom, Todd. It's about freedom to drive your car any way you want to looking at your phone. It's about freedom. That's what I hear.
Going as fast as you want.
Killing other people that are innocent.
Yeah, I'm tired of those red light, green light regulations.
Yeah. Get rid of them.
Who the hell are you to tell me I can't blow through this intersection?
That's a government telling you what to do,
Stupid
Todd.
Laws.
I got things to do.
Stupid regulations.
I gotta go.
They're gone by the wayside.
My destination is more important than yours.
Exactly.
The hell out of my way.
McDonald's coming out with the Mac Jr. and the Grand Mac. A Big Mac that's smaller and bigger than the Big Mac.
Wait, is it my imagination, or maybe because I was smaller? Because I see a Big Mac once in a while. My son will order those.
Were they bigger when
I was younger?
They look smaller.
So is the Big Mac now, the Grand Big Mac, going to be the way it was?
I'm not aware of them being smaller.
I just seemed like they were smaller.
Well, you're bigger.
Yeah, I know that, but I'm not talking about years ago. I thought they did lower the size of those things years ago.
I haven't seen a Big Mac in some time, so I couldn't tell you if the Grand Mac is like the regular size of an old Big Mac.
I had to go through McDonald's last night, actually, with my son.
I
hate going through McDonald's because
I'm not aware of
something.
The Big Mac changing the
Fine.
Size.
So, some that, variety.
The bigger one would be good.
Yeah.
There's a YouTube channel I watch. Don't hammer me, Todd.
too late.
The guy, all he does is go to fast food places and does reviews.
Cool. Right.
And so Taco Bell, McDonald's, Burger King, whatever. And so he's down in Florida where they already have these. So the Grand Mac is like the big quarter pounder patties.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more beef. And then the little one, the junior one, is just one layer. It's not the three layers.
Got it.
Okay. All right.
The two layers or whatever. Right. So
they'll sell them.
I have a channel on YouTube where Samuel L. Jackson and John Travolta talk about what they call the Big Mac in other countries.
Yeah, that's nice.
They talk about
foreign
what's it called
food
in France?
In other countries. They just call it the Grand Royale.
Oh, yeah.
The Royale
so,
with cheese.
Royale with cheese because they don't have, they use the metric system.
So in Florida, they have the McGriddle, the thing that has like the syrup in there.
Yeah, yeah. Craig
well, they're doing that.
That
with the chicken patty, so it's like chicken and waffles.
Oh, really?
Oh.
So it's a test market down there in Florida?
Yeah, so.
Okay, yeah. I have a less than dickish question. This is a genuine question.
It's not possible.
I read the other day that Taco Bell is going to make shells. They may already be doing
this. I go through Taco Bell all the time.
Yeah, out of chicken.
Mm-hmm.
The shells or the taco shells are made out of chicken.
Yes.
And then whatever goes inside of it. Are they available yet? Are they any good?
I haven't been to Taco Bell forever. I did hear about that. I guess it's like the KFC McDouble Down thing that they have.
This is the Naked Chicken Chalupa launching nationwide January 26th.
That's a sex act, by the way.
That's this coming week.
I gave her the Naked Chicken Chalupa last night.
That one doesn't sound good at all.
No.
The naked part does.
No.
After everything else, it gets a little messy.
Yeah, the shell is made of 4 ounces of marinated all-white meat, antibiotic-free chicken, and then they just dump the meat and the lettuce and the
tomatoes.
What
if you get a chicken taco? You're eating a chicken wrapped in chicken.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I guess there is no actual meat inside. They just put the taco toppings
inside. Oh, so the actual meat is the shell.
Chicken. Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll eat that.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I go through it enough with the kids. So
is it breaded?
Yeah, it's breaded.
No, okay. Of course it is.
It's breaded.
Yeah. Oh. But it's actual chicken. I was under the impression it just might be like chicken skin.
No. No,
chicken skin's between your balls and your taint. That's what chicken skin is. We used to call that chicken skin in high school. Your taint is chicken skin. Swear to God, we always called chicken skin.
In high school, I never referred to anyone else's taint.
Oh, well, we didn't hang out with the guys I did. If you feel down there, and we all got it, that your taint is chicken
I didn't
skin.
Feel anybody else's either.
No, you don't feel each other's. You feel your own.
Right, and it's the best part.
Yeah.
It's the tastiest part.
It is the tastiest part.
Len, that's how they did things back. It's an out east thing.
It's
back
east.
Back east, that's how they
We used
they
to call it
it
chicken skin so much, like everybody called it chicken skin in our high school, that we assumed, like when I went to college, other people called it that, and you forget that, nobody called it that.
Yeah.
That's your chicken skin. What? Your taint. Yeah. Oh, I get it. Okay.
Right, but
you call it chicken skin? Everybody does. No, they don't. Oh, that's right.
I don't think the term taint was adopted until later on.
No, it wasn't, but you still know what it was.
Maybe 80s, 90s. Where, it was universally recognized.
Look up the original origin of taint.
Origin of taint. For the smells, area between your balls and your bunghole.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry, ladies. Well, you've seen it. What am I talking about?
Or as LBJ would say, nuts to bunghole.
Nuts to bunghole. That's your taint right there. Or your chicken skin. So when I hear chicken skin, I just gross out.
If LBJ were alive today, he would be happy for the Duluth Trading Company.
He'd be 107 or something
he
like
would.
That.
Man. He would.
He'd be wearing nothing but Duluth Trading Company clothing.
Well, your nuts hang.
Room for your balls.
Ballroom.
Ballroom.
Ballroom, they have that.
Yeah.
And then the fancy version. I was actually in the store over Christmas.
Oh, were you?
Are you the only guy not working manual labor in that store? I mean, I always loved I like the commercials, you know.
No, there's a lot of people.
A lot of fake lumberjacks.
No, manual laborers don't make that much money.
That's true. That's true.
They have a line of jeans called...
ballroom jeans?
It's middle management something.
Oh.
Middle management wear.
Oh, that means... Oh, you mean like the khaki crap?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Man.
For that's belt holders and shirts tucked in, their belly hanging out.
Yeah, but they flat out call it middle management.
Do they call it that?
Yes, that's...
Man, that's not... That would suck having to walk in there. Shave my head and take me to Duluth. Can you imagine that? I need the middle management clothes.
Now, was it middle management
dude.
For the working crowd, guys that may have to get out and do a little bit of work occasionally,
get
out of the truck occasionally?
That's a good question.
That's kind of what it looked like.
Oh, okay, I'm thinking like a hallway middle management.
No, I think it's working guy middle management.
That's different. That's
no,
clothes.
It's not suit wearing middle management.
Yep, here you go. Men's middle management flat front chinos.
Yeah.
Or you can get them in pleated.
Oh,
man.
That's what I want. Pleated.
Yeah.
Husky. I need a husky.
Sure.
I need middle management husky.
Knee pads.
Husky. Those come pre-installed with the middle management line.
Of course they
good.
Do. No, but middle management guys on the job site are actually, you know, they do get out and do some stuff.
They do get out occasionally.
I'm picturing.
And they've worked up to that point. They've
true,
worked for a living
true.
To get to that
I'm
point.
I'm picturing guys in meetings they don't want to be at. Like in this building,
right.
Any building like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Any meeting.
Yeah.
new Netflix survey shows that half of people who binge watch their favorite shows in the United States cheat on their significant others by skipping ahead on shows that they agreed to watch together. Yeah. Half of the people.
Yeah, I believe that for sure.
Yeah.
I don't really have that
source
problem.
Of tension in your home, Puss?
No, because we really don't have any problem with it. I don't. The ones I like to watch on my own, she's cool with it, and the ones we watch together, we watch together.
Yeah, but like when Christy goes away for the weekend, and I want to watch Bill Maher.
You got to watch. But you have to watch Bill Maher for the show.
Kind of time sensitive.
Yeah, that's a show thing. Does she understand that?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah. Good, because you have to actually watch that for the show. That and SNL reruns and things like that. Not reruns, excuse me, the DVR or whatever, right?
Because she wanted to watch SNL last night, and I said, I already watched it. Yeah. I got to watch that before Monday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess she understood.
Well, you get 8 TVs. Don't you have one in the bedroom and downstairs?
Yeah, but we like to watch TV together every once in a while.
Yeah, SNL's kind of a Sunday morning ritual around our place. That we always just sit down and watch it together.
Right after church?
Sure.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
The majority of cheaters admit they just want to see what happens next.
And brunch.
Yeah.
You got to have church and brunch.
The behavior is even worse in Mexico and Brazil, while the Netherlands seems to be the most faithful Netflix country.
Do we know what the actual definition of binge is?
I think, I think that's a personal
I understand that,
definition.
But they must have a definition of it.
I think it's at least 3 episodes.
Yeah. 3 episodes. Hour-long episodes?
No, 30-minute episodes. 3 30-minute episodes I think would count as a bit of a binge. Not a big binge.
And this is for people who are watching a series together.
I understand that. Yeah.
Well, on Netflix, it's easy.
Starts right up.
They're all right there.
Starts right. I love it. Yeah, I love it, man.
You don't have to wait for next week.
No.
Some people say it's led to verbal arguments. And
Jesus, get a real problem. Get a real problem.
Some say it's worse than forgetting an anniversary.
Are you that mad? This is a woman thing.
Some
are
say
you that mad
it's
that she
nothing.
Watched it before you? Are you a guy and that mad? I'm not.
I would have no idea. I have nothing. I can't
no
compare
idea.
This to anything.
Yeah. Neither can I.
I don't know if it's close to the epitome.
Are you mad? Would you be mad, Puss?
No.
No, I wouldn't either. But women do get mad. This is a woman problem.
No,
and they got a lot of them.
That's a first world problem.
It's a first world woman problem.
Total first world
if you're getting
problem.
Yelled at for that, you're right. And your relationship's pretty good.
Well, and Netflix will tell on you. Because, when you finish an episode
and
you go back to the home
Netflix
screen,
and narc.
It automatically clicks to, okay, now watch the next one.
Right.
You get yelled at for that.
Do you want to continue watching?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Did you watch it already?
Yeah. Netflix will rat on you.
If that's your problem, you're right. Then you got bigger problems. You have no problems, I should say. It's a first world problem, right? Hang on here. I'm waiting for the fluff point.
The fluff signal. Hey.
The fluff signal Kapush gives me here. I'm like,
Mr. Lockhart, every time I turn around, you're somewhere you're not supposed to be.
I guess I'm lost. I'm just trying to find my way back to my room.
This is a restricted floor. There are signs everywhere. Surely you didn't just wander down here by accident. What is it exactly that you are looking for?
I had a problem with my tooth. Actually, it's feeling much better if you could just point me in the direction of my room.
Nonsense. We can't let you get an infection. You must let us take care of you. After all, that's why you're here.
Spooky. A Cure for Wellness is the name of the movie.
Opens nationwide this Friday. And Jason Isaac joins us.
Hey, Jason, how you doing, man?
Morning, sir.
I'm good. Would you trust that man with your daughter? That's my question.
No.
Which one? You? That's a creepy...
Well, either of them, frankly. But what you can't do, because obviously it's on the radio, is you can't see the state of Dane DeHaan when he's saying that. One of his teeth has just dropped out.
Oh, it always just falls out. Okay. Because I've
pale, big bags under his eyes.
I've seen the
preview. He looks like he needs a bit of help.
The dude, he does. The movie looks really spooky. And give us a quick synopsis. What's it about?
It's about a young guy played by Dane DeHaan, who is kind of Wall Street hotshot, who is maybe lost his moral compass, but he's sent off to a spa in Switzerland, where a lot of the world leaders and the head of his bank have disappeared to and are refusing to leave. And his job is to retrieve that guy. And he gets there, and it seems like an idyllic place, and yet there is a sense of creepy undertones, because otherwise there wouldn't be a movie. And he stays for a while. Maybe he thinks he might need some treatment, and all kinds of extremely dreadful, creepy, sickening, twisted things happen, or do they? And then Much drama ensues. I don't want to give away too much.
No, don't give away too much.
It is a ride. Yeah, it's a very sick, crazy, fun ride.
They check into the spa, but they have trouble checking out?
It is the Hotel California with Snowcap Mountain.
Okay.
There you go. Great reference, of course. So Jason Isaac. We follow you on Twitter, Jason, too, by the way. You list yourself as a faker, professional faker.
That's what I do. I pretend to be other people.
I like that. I love
that. One of the lovely things about this film, you know, that sometimes the first question you ask by journalists is, why did you take the part?
Right.
Well, I take parts mostly. Well, that's my wife calling me right in the middle of an interview. Perfect timing, darling. I take parts when there are secrets. Because I don't know how to act one-dimensional parts. So this character, Dr. Vollmer, is layers and layers of secrecy. In fact, almost nothing is what it seems in the spa, that makes you look much better as an actor if you can play all kinds of hidden layers.
Well, everything I've seen you in, you are believable. And that's the hallmark of a good
actor.
Well,
you clearly haven't seen all of it, then, because there's some garbage out there.
Oh, good.
Really?
I'm glad you brought that up. Give me a movie that was garbage.
Well, I'm possibly the only actor in the world. You know the site Rotten Tomatoes that rates things?
Yeah.
I have 100% film on there, and I have a 0% film on there.
What's the
100%? In the 90s, and I've got 3%. I think I have the biggest spread.
What's the 100% film? What was the 100%
film? 100% is a film called Red Dog, True Blue.
Okay.
It doesn't have a distributor in America yet. It's an Australian film. It's like Old Yeller. And the whole audience cries. Everybody, is passing tissues around.
Okay.
Their families hug each other. And the 0%, it's very unkind. Undiplomatic to talk about, but believe me, it's out there.
Tell us, come on. I know people don't want to be, we can look
There's
it up.
There's a 3% film called Abduction, which I don't think even his mother could love.
So you'll drop up, you'll drop the 3% bomb, you won't drop the 0% bomb, right?
Yeah, 0, I think it's unkind. Someone's down on the ground, they're out for the count, you don't kick them in the head.
Well, that just shows you how rangy you really are.
Well, Jason Isaac was it. What was your favorite
role? I try and take the best things I can. I always do the best job that I can. Sometimes it's tough with films, One of the nice things about doing Cure for Wellness is I put myself in the hands of Gore Verbinski. Gore Verbinski is the guy that directed the Pirates of the Caribbean films and Rango and The Ring and Mouse Hunt. So he's worked across a whole bunch of different genres. So when he says, I want to twist people's minds and creep them out, you go, well, you know what you're doing. So,
That's true. Because all you can do is act. I mean, obviously, the script and the way this film's directed and shot is up to them. So you're right. I mean, if a movie sucks, it's not your fault.
I'll tell you one thing I didn't plan for with this thing. We shot in the most haunted building in Germany, possibly in Europe, where Hitler went after the First World War for rehab. He sent the Nazis there when they got sick in the mind or body during the Second World War. Then the Russians took it over. Man. They made it a village. They sent their political prisoners there, and they lobotomized them all. So there's been a whole history of mass murder there, and the grounds, the buildings, the soil is screaming with the pain of the past, and it certainly informs how creeped out we were as actors.
So is it really a creepy vibe?
Oh, I was terrified there, not just in the scenes, which are creepy, but anytime I wasn't with somebody else physically, I was looking down at the ground. I did not want to look up at these empty, dilapidated buildings and see a silhouette in the window where there was meant to be nobody.
Well, I love that you brought that up because we've talked to actors that have been in horror movies, and I said, are you scared on the set sometimes? I mean, not to say horror or psychological thrillers. Is it scary on the set? I mean, do you feel that vibe, or is it because there's cameras?
What it is tense.
Tense, got it.
And it should be, shouldn't
you? Acting is, yes, you're pretending to be other people, but you're trying to trick your imagination as far as you possibly can.
Right.
And although my character's having quite a good time in this, Dane DeHaan, the lead, we put him through physical and psychological torture. And the young girl, Mia Goth, in it, who's only done 3 films, is completely real. She's like somebody who wears her nerves on the outside of her body. So the two of them were in a very disturbed state for 6 months, and you have to respect that. I'd be playing Stevie Wonder music and have ping pong tables everywhere.
When the director says cut, are you kind of actor that can be just your regular self, or you stay or the character you can't shake the character?
No, I am, but it depends what part you're playing. When I did a movie called Good about the Holocaust, I stayed somewhere in the zone of someone who was a Jewish man in the 30s in Berlin because you have to keep yourself as disturbed. The camera can tell when you're feeling things genuinely, but in this film, my character is really in charge of the world. He's a very powerful man who's giving people simple answers to life's complicated problems, and he's possibly overconfident. I don't mean to be describing anybody in today's world, but you can draw the conclusion.
I know exactly. Why read your Twitter, Blair? We're on the same side here. We're on the same side of that. Yes. There we go.
You're still not going to give up that 0%, are you?
No. You look it up. Go to Rotten Tomatoes. I've got a bunch of stuff in between. Yeah. Not, by the way, that the critics are the mark of whether something is good or bad.
That's
What's
true.
Great about today's social media world is you can make your own mind up and you can ask your friends.
Do you take parts, a script on scene, just based on who you're working with?
Depends who it is. I did a film called Green Zone with Paul Greengrass, who is both a friend of mine and I think a magnificent filmmaker. And I knew that he was spending time with real soldiers from Iraq and real translators and people from Abu Ghraib. And the story was unfolding as I arrived, and every scene we did was improvised. But it's Paul Greengrass, and that's how he worked. When you do television series in America, mostly, they're not written. They've written a pilot. I just did a thing called The OA for Netflix, and very unusually, they'd written all 8 episodes. They took 2 years to write.
I'm so glad you brought that up. I watched the first episode of OA, and I want to continue. And so make sure you tell me to continue. You're not in the first episode.
No, I'm not in the first episode. Right. No, most people who watch it, you're unusual. Most people watch it, actually watch all 8 hours in one go, call in sick to work. It's become this, because it's Netflix, you don't know the numbers, but since I'm getting stopped every 20 seconds in the street, and the guy at immigration stopped me when I arrived to New York for
the
trip.
Well, that's because,
you're the last iPad in the world who hasn't seen it.
Got it. Okay, because these guys haven't seen it either, but I started watching because I read a lot of great reviews on OA. I didn't even know you were in it until right this second. I'm reading your IMDb, so I will watch the rest.
Well, think about the OA. I mean, you watch the first episode of the OA, you actually got no idea what the show's about. You watch the second episode, it finishes, and you go, oh, that's what it's about.
Third,
you go, you know what? I'm going to give it up because I have no idea what the show's about.
I was confused.
But wellness, you're in the hands. I was just going to say, because Gore Verbinski is such a master.
Right.
As soon as the film for Cure for Wellness starts, you go, okay, I get where we're going. This guy is going to take me somewhere that is going to be really unpleasant. Like getting on a roller coaster.
Excellent.
When you're going up the hill.
All right.
You know what's coming. And so, Gore is a master at torturing the audience.
So give it 2 episodes.
We'll look it out.
At least.
I'm going to. Jason Isaacs with us, so Cure for Wellness. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot for calling.
All right, good luck.
Pleasure. Lovely to talk to you.
Thank you.
All right, good dude. The bad guy in The Patriot, still one of our favorite roles of all time.
He was in all the Harry Potter stuff.
Yeah. Well, I know that. We don't watch it.
Do you want to know the 0%?
I do.
A movie out of 2015 called London Fields.
All right.
Not familiar.
Mystery and suspense.
A 0?
Billy Bob Thornton, Amber Heard.
People you like, too.
Really?
Jason Isaacs, yeah.
Man.
A terminally ill American writer living in London meets a woman claiming to know the date, time, and perpetrator of her own murder. And it got 0% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow, that had to be some bad writing. Because those are some pretty good players.
Yeah. Right?
You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.